You were there, and we saw some amazing things take place. Carol and her husband Benjamin have been ministering all over the world, bringing revival wherever they go. You know, I'm so thankful that in America, God has not passed us by. He is sending powerful, apostolic, anointed people to come and bring the salvation message back to a sleeping church. Are you ready to receive it this morning? Carol is a third generation missionary founding the Favor of God ministry in northern Uganda and Gulu. Powerful ministry of prayer, and we can talk about so many stories, but I don't really have time to tell you all of them. Benjamin was saved at 10 years of age. At 12, he started preaching. At 14, he started pastoring. Uh-huh. Amen. Did you see up on the screen? A woman brought the baby that was dead. Did you see Benjamin holding the baby that was alive? I believe it's the same God in America that is in Africa. So many powerful things are happening in the Sudan, and we know that God is going to do great things here this morning. So, without further ado, all I can say is get up on your feet, Church on the North Coast. Clap your hands. Welcome to this platform, Carol and Benjamin Otika.
Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. It's good to be here. It's good to be here. And I just want to greet you before I go sit down. I just say I always have a little appetizer and then he gives a full meal. So, but I just want to thank you with all of our hearts because you've welcomed us, because you've loved us, because you've prayed for us, because you've partnered with us. And I want to thank Pastor Lewis and Pastor Tina for just loving us, sowing into the ministry, standing with us, receiving us here, and just as family. And that's exactly what we feel like as family. And we see a lot of missionaries. I grew up on the mission field, and missionaries come and go. But, you know, to find somebody that has such a kingdom-minded heart, I thank God with all my heart that that's the kind of pastor and your wife you have. They're kingdom-minded and absolutely full of love. And love embraces nations. Amen? Because that's what the heart of God does. And I love Habakkuk. Amen. He embraces nations, and he embraces nations through the body of Christ. I love Habakkuk 1:5, and it says, look around you. Look at the nations around you and watch and be utterly amazed, because I'm going to do a work in your day which you wouldn't even believe had it been told you. And that's exactly what God's doing, not just in Cleveland. He's doing it here. He's doing it in nations. He's doing it in Africa. Look around you and be amazed. You won't even believe the stories if we told them all to you. You won't even believe it. God wants to blow your mind. That's exactly what he says in that verse. Hallelujah, he wants to blow your mind. Be astounded at what he's going to do.
Hallelujah.
And I just want to thank you that you've been a part of what he's doing in Uganda and now in Sudan. We've called it Life Encounter Ministries because we're registered in a new nation of Sudan and going into Muslim nations. And we're using discretion about entering those places. But do you know what's busting open Muslim nations and Muslim areas for Jesus? Is that he's following his word with signs, wonders, and miracles.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
And when you go into areas that are 95% witchcraft and full of Islam and all kinds of darkness and strongholds, when they see the power of the living God in his church, that's you. That's each one of us. They cannot refute that. They can argue religion, but they can't argue the Amen. Power of the living God. And it's bringing
Hallelujah.
Them to Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. So I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for praying. I want to thank you for praying for our children in the children's home. They pastor. They teach on the radio. I say pastor. They preach on the radio. They preach in the marketplace. They preach in the hospitals. They lay hands on the sick. They have overnight prayer meeting. And God is using that generation of children. He's taking the victims of war and turning them into instruments of revival. and he'll do it with all of us. He'll do it with all of us. So thank you. From the Bible school students to the medical clinic to the house of prayer to the prison ministry, the government has asked us, will you bring revival? Literally, they called us to Kampala and said, will you bring revival that's happening in the prisons and in the military barracks into every prison and every military barrack in Uganda? So we give him the glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. I could go on and on. It's exciting. But just thank you so much for welcoming us and letting us be here and just share our hearts with you. We love you. We love your pastor.
Amen.
I just thank God for my husband, Benjamin. He wasn't with me last time I was in Cleveland because we've been married 3 years now. So,
amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. This is a living church. You are not a dead church. And it's going to be a noisy atmosphere. It's going to be like we're in a football stadium. Because the devil is going to lose. He has already lost. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Somebody get up on your feet. There is an anointing in this house. Don't let it bypass you. Just get up with me together. If you are not walking, you are going to walk today. If you have been deaf in your ears, God is going to open your ears. The same God that has done those things in Africa is here. The Bible said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you, Jesus. We worship your name, Lord. We give you praise. I just lift your hand to Jesus and thank him. Father, we honor you, God. This is a mighty day, oh God. And this is a day that you have made, oh God. We surrender everything in your hand. Father, we are not victims, but we are victors. I want to declare we are not sick, but we are healed. As we proclaim the message of faith this morning, we pray that God, may you speak in the hearing of our understanding. Bring light to your word. Restoration, oh God, to the thing that has been lost. Our time shall be restored, oh God. Our resources shall be restored, oh my Father. Not only one time, but seven times. Our health is restored, oh my Father. Whatever the devil has stolen, Lord, we declare it seven times payback. Lord, there are some people standing in this stadium, oh God, in this cathedral. Some of them have been sick in their body. Some of them have lost their jobs. Some of them have been wounded. You are God who is about to pay the vengeance. Our recompense comes from you, God. And we worship your name. We pray for the anointing in this place. Somebody lift your voice and begin to thank God. Just thank God. Just thank God today. Everyone, wave your hand and thank God. Wave your hand and thank God. Thank God in Jesus' name. Thank God in Jesus' name. Thank God in Jesus' name. I see angels in this place. I see the power of God in this place. You shall never remain the same. We honor you, God. We worship your name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody clap your hand to Jesus. Come on, clap your hand to Jesus. Clap your hand to Jesus. You are receiving your deliverance as you are shouting. Come on, begin to shout. Clap your hand to Jesus. My God, we thank you. We give you praise, oh Jesus. We exalt your name, oh my Father. We magnify your holy name. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now listen. If you have come with your Bible, just get in your hand. Tell your neighbor that I'm blessed. Come on, tell your neighbor that I'm blessed. I'm blessed and happy. Let me just transfer this thing here. Hallelujah. Thank you. I want us to turn to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 7, from verse 3 up to verse 8. 2 Kings, chapter 7, verse 3 up to verse 8. If you can, you will follow as I am reading. Now there were four lepers, men at the entrance of the gate. And they said to one another, "Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore, come, let us surrender to the army of Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall only die." And they rose at twilight to go to the camp of Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrians' camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord has caused the army of Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses. The noise of great armies. So they say to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired against us kings of Hittites and the kings of Egyptian to attack us." Verse 7. Therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact. Their tents, their horses, and their donkeys. And they fled for their lives. Verse 8, and when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent, ate, drank, carried from it silver, gold, and clothing, and went and hid them. Then they came back and entered another tent, and carried some from there also, and went and hid them. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Come on, leave your hand and say amen.
Amen.
I cannot hear you.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Listen to this story. This is one of the amazing stories in the Bible. The story of four lepers, their brother in Israel, and the Syrian army in their camp. Syrian grew very strong. And they besieged Syria and took over the capital. They looted everything, literally. They have lost their food. Prices for things went up. They were selling a donkey head, almost $800. And they were selling cups of bird dropping to be eaten as food. Four shekel is around $400 almost. A camp. And they were full lepers. Somebody, you can sit down. God bless you. Clap your hand to Jesus. Somebody say four lepers. These lepers were excommunicated from the society because leprosy is a contagious disease, generic. It is like when you touch another person, you will be contaminated. And according to the Hebrews culture, if you are a leprous, you are not supposed to come in a worship gathering. You are not supposed to stay in together with people. These people were excommunicated to stay at the gate somewhere in the bush in the wilderness. They have lost their jobs. They have lost their families. They have lost social ties, and everything was lost. Four of them were there dying. Now when they sat at the entrance of the city, one of them talked to another. One of them began to talk to one another and said, if we have to stay here, we shall die. And if we have to go in the city, there is famine in the city. Famine will also what? Kill us. So what should we do? They decided to do one thing. That we shall go. Somebody say go.
Go.
Come on, say go.
Go.
They said we shall go to the Syrian camp. And if they shall kill us, we shall die. If they shall not kill us, we shall live. This is a statement of faith. This is what I'm going to talk about this afternoon. Statement of faith. Somebody say statement of faith. How can you kill a person and the person die afterward? They said, if they shall kill us, then we shall die. But if they shall not kill us, then we shall live. Then the journey of revolution started from the entrance of the city. Four men looking for food, looking for survival, looking for success, looking for love, and they were walking. Someone, may you first help me with a piece of cloth. I want to do something. I want to demonstrate something. Maybe, yeah, something like that. God bless you. Something like that one. I need a big cloth. When you are a leper, you are supposed to put on a uniform. And you are supposed to hang a bell on your neck. So that when you are coming near a community, people will run away from you. When you are almost approaching help, people will leave your side. So these men were having their uniform and the bell around them, and they must shout and say, I am unclean. I am unclean. I am unclean. I am not worthy. I am not worthy. You see, such a humiliation. Thank be to God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. When these men who were leprous, helpless, they were weak, and they started their journey. Somebody say journey.
Journey.
One step is like a artillery bomb. One step is like a huge combined setting of system that is disorganizing the system of the Syrians. Another step, because their feet were cut off, and they said, today Israelites has hired armies against us. They ran and they fled their camp. When they left their camp, food was there intact. I'm here to tell you today, the enemy is about to leave your camp. What has caused fear in your life is about to flee. Whatever has caused bondage in your life is living in the name of Jesus. So when those lepers went into the camp, God used their weakness and changed it into the strength. God used their rejection and changed it into a powerful, dynamic revolution. They were disassociated because leprosy cuts fingers. It cuts feet. So when you are moving, you are not free. And those guys were not free. And they were rejected from towns. I'm going to talk on four things that leprosy causes in people's lives. One is isolation. Somebody say isolation. Come on, shout and say isolation. Thank you. God bless you. Come on, somebody shout and say isolation.
Isolation.
I cannot hear you. Say isolation.
Isolation.
You people, I'm here at home. Get up on your feet. Let's do this exercise. Come on, let's stand on our feet. Say isolation.
Isolation.
Children, say isolation.
Isolation.
Those four lepers were isolated from the community. And that's what the enemy wants to do in your life. Today is the strategy. It's one of the common strategy of the devil, is to isolate you away from the source of the word, away from the source of deliverance, away from the source of the supernatural. Wants to take you away. But I have come to tell you tonight that if you are hearing any mind and any thought of isolation, you better come back. Come back in the city. Come back into the church. Come back, there is food in the church. There is food in the house. There is deliverance in the house. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Listen. Those lepers were isolated. Isolated from worship. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 13, verse 3. It was a dreaded malady which rendered its victims ceremonially unclean. That is unfit to worship God. Sometimes when you sit in a place, you will hear bombarding messages that comes in your mind. Attacks your mind because your mind is the center of God's will. And God wants to use that mind, and the devil also wants to speak to that mind. And that voice wants to take you away from the church. Take you away from worship. Take you away from gathering. I want to tell you one thing. That time has come for us to regroup ourselves. Time has come for believers to come together. There is power in one association. There is power in staying together. How many believe in that? If you believe in that, say amen.
Amen.
We had a man who was a very powerful Christian. Fiery preacher. When he speak, it will happen. But after 2 years, the statement changed in his life. He began to speak a word that I used to be like this. But now the devil has isolated him. When the devil takes you away, you will begin to hide some secret which you are not supposed to hide. You will begin to live alone. He wants you to fall a victim of circumstance. He wants you to fall a victim of depression. Isolation comes with depression. One of the first signs of depression is isolation. When you begin to hide the testimony and the works of God from your fellow dear brothers and sisters, the depression will come. Because the Bible said, when we know the truth, what will do will happen? The truth shall make us free. So the devil wants to take that unity spirit and isolate you somewhere and stay alone. And you will think that you can make it alone. No. You have to stay together. Somebody tell your neighbor that you must cling together. You must abide together. When you abide together, the Spirit of the Lord shall arise. Where there is unity, there God commands his blessings. There God commands his blessings. I thank God for prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. He said, but arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and the deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. I'm here to tell you that the glory of the Lord is arising upon you. Rising upon you. Somebody leave your hand and say, glory.
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 Listen, what you and me need is God's glory. We don't need favor from man. We need favor from God. Listen, if God has approved you, who shall disapprove you? When God has favored you, who shall disfavor you? I don't know whether that is the Kuru English. When God has called you in, who shall kick you out? No one. We need God's glory. Somebody say, glory.
Glory.
And those men, when God embraced them, you know the people who chased them away from the camp. If you read in verse 9, they said, then they said to one another, we are not doing right. This day is a day of good news. And we will remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now, listen. They were kicked by their own brother out of the city. And now because God has opened their eyes, given them victory, given them deliverance, they went and called their brother and said, we cannot eat this food alone. Come and also get for free. People who have thrown you away shall begin to look for you. Those who have caused isolation in your life, they shall begin to seek for you. Because God is going to favor you. He will give you victory. Somebody leave your hand and say, bless me, God. Say, bless me, God. In the name, clap your hand to Jesus. You can sit down if you want. If you want to stand, there's no problem. Now listen. The other thing that leprosy brings is shame. Somebody say shame.
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 Have you read the story of the other king of Syria whose hands were cut because of leprosy? He was ashamed to parade the soldiers. You will always cover your skin because you fear shame. Today there are so many shameful giants hiding in the cave. They are hiding in shame. They even don't want to speak the name of Jesus to share the good news with others. Shame. It's a terrible disease. Leviticus chapter 13, verse 45 to 46. That he shall be unclean. All the days he has the shore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean. And he shall dwell alone in his dwelling. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Believers. In our generation, there are so many people, including believers, Christians, born again. Sometimes also they speak in tongues. But they fear, they feel shameful to talk about Jesus openly. Yet the words say, when you refuse and you are shameful of my name openly, I will also openly be ashamed to defend you before my Father. That's why every time, you know, we are holding meetings. In this crusade that you saw, over 30,000 people came in. That was Islamic country in Sudan. And in 1 week, we saw 10,000 people give their life to Jesus. I want to share you this testimony. That they brought a man whose leg, one leg is shorter than the other. And he was walking with one stick. You saw him. I don't know whether you saw. The other man was running. And even before we saw healing, we declare to people that God is going to set him free. Because faith, according to Romans chapter 4, verse 17, call those things which are not as though they were. And without shame, we shouted and said, God is going to give you a new leg. How many believe that we have our spare part in heaven? God has your spare part in heaven. A car made in Japan has its spare part in Japan. True or false? I say true or false?
True.
A car made here in America. It has their spare part here in America. A plane made here, they must have their spare part here. If we are made by God, God must have our spare part. How many believe in that? That's why we have the joy to come and dance before God without shame. To raise our hand and shout to him because he's a God who has created us. He loved us. He put us in his own image. There is power in the name of Jesus. When we began to pray for this man, God sent his spare part. And his leg grew up the same height like the other one. And he was now running. He was now running. There is power in the name of Jesus. Somebody say, power!
Power!
How many people want to move in the power of God? I say, how many people want to move in God's power? Listen, if you want to move, you want to move in the power of God, you must remove away shame. You must remove away what?
Shame.
Replace shame with boldness. The disciples of Jesus were ordinary men. Some of them never went to school. Some of them were tax collectors. But in the book of Acts, chapter 4, he talks on how they preached, they presented the gospel with boldness. Somebody say boldness.
Boldness.
When you come before God with boldness, boldness will break every hindrance. Because your boldness is not in ignorance. Your boldness is based. It's packed and back with a supernatural power. Somebody say boldness. Come on, shout and say boldness.
Boldness.
Come on, shout and say boldness.
Boldness.
If you want this place to be packed and you have 10 services in one Sunday, you must be bold.
Amen.
Do you know that it's possible for us to have 10 services in one Sunday? Where the power of God is, he will draw everyone. You can even start to have services here in this place at 4 a.m. People will come. They will come. Jesus went away and he never announced where he was going. He went somewhere and he sat there by the riverside. And in a few minutes, over 5,000 surrounded that river. And he said, maybe we now have to stage a prayer conference. He did not have a Facebook. He did not have phone. He did not have vehicles. But one thing that we desire is God's power. Somebody say God's power.
God's power.
So that's what the devil wants to do. Is to take away the power, replace it with shame, and replace it with mantle. I told you that in the beginning of my preaching, that I feel the presence of God here. This church is a unique church.
Amen.
Keep it more unique and lively.
Amen.
When you enter in a trap of religion, you are finished. Humility is not in action. We were taught in a religious sect those days that when you're entering a chapel, you must enter like this. And you kneel and throw something like that. God wants you to be born free in the house of God. You have been singing a song, Freedom, right? How many people want to be free? Free from sin. Free from confusion. This is going to be the source of your happiness, of your joy.
of your peace. How many people want to live in peace? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, shout and say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Get up on your feet and say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, continue standing. If you have feet, stand. Stand. Stand with me. There is power in standing. Do you know that? Another thing that rejection, leprosy does in people's life is rejection. Those people were rejected. And there are so many people getting the spirit of rejection this day, even in America. Rejection spirit comes. And they don't respect when you don't rebuke them. They will always, even if you have a plane, they will always come. Even if you're a millionaire, they will come. You'll begin to meet rejection in every point of your life. We had a friend of ours. He's now my friend. He came for prayers. And he said, sometimes if I enter in a congregation of people I don't know, people begin to hurt me for nothing. Sometimes even before you open your mouth, you feel that rejection spirit around you. I mean, I understand what I'm talking about. You may leave from this state and you go to the next state where no one knows you. But people will turn their back to you and say, who is she? The desire of the enemy is to put you down and reject you. But God's desire is to lift you up. Somebody say, lift me up, Lord. Come and say, lift me up, Lord. I see your joy being lifted up. Whatever you have lost in the battlefield will come back to you in many times. In 100-fold. Those chains are getting broken in Jesus' name. The shackles of rejection are getting broken in the name of Jesus. And you'll begin to move in freedom and peace. I want to share with you this testimony. If you want to sit down, you can. God bless you. I want to share with you this testimony. There was a Muslim girl. This happened in 2010, last year. A Muslim girl. The father was a Muslim, a head of a mosque. And this lady, something came just from nowhere. A heavy spirit of rejection. She closed her head in a house. She wanted to commit suicide. She was picking knife to spear her heart. And every time they are just, when they are trying to go to mosque on Friday, she picks a knife to spear herself and kill herself. And this man said, what shall we do? He took her to the hospital, took her to counseling units, took her everywhere. This is a true story. The lady's name is called Patricia. And I was preaching because I have preaching time in radio every day. I was preaching on air. And they put on their radio. And I was talking, I was preaching. And I said, if anyone needs prayer, put your hands on the radio right now. And when she put her hands on the radio, her and her sister, the power of God came and hit them through the radio network. You know, God uses anything. I don't know how he travels through the network in a radio station or on TV station. So this lady collapsed. She didn't know what was happening. And we announced and she found us the following day. We have lunch hour prayers from Monday to Friday. 500 and above people. Sometimes they come and get packed in the house of prayer, praying, interceding. So they carried this lady on a chart.
They brought this lady in the house of prayer. When we started to pray, I saw real spirit of rejection manifesting and coming. Manifesting and coming. She was falling down, crying. And in the next 10 minutes, she was set free. Up to today, she left her mosque and she's coming. She's among the choir right now as I talk. That is what God wants to do. God wants to set you free so that you come and serve him. So that you come and worship him. This is one of the reasons why he set the Israelites free from Egypt. Because for 400 years, there was no worship on earth. Can you imagine? For how many years? No one could worship God. The enemies tried and said, they gave them instruments and they said, we cannot worship him in the land of the foreign. But Jesus, the power of God came in their camp. Said, I want my people to go and worship me. This is the voice of God to you today. God wants to release you so that you worship him. You worship him with your children. You know, it's a joyous thing if your husband is standing there, your child is there, you're worshiping God and clapping your hands and you're just joyous. Peace in the Holy Ghost. Lifting your hands and dancing. But the devil wants to set you apart, confuse you, bring confusion, and then rejection and everything. But thank God that the cornerstone that has been rejected has become the chief cornerstone. As I talk right now, there are some people seated in this church who are facing the spirit of rejection. In workplace, at home, and sometimes it's now personal on your side. You don't know how to control yourself. The rejection spirit is there. Thank God for David. David was writing and said, in the book of Psalm, chapter 108, verse 2, that the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Rejection brings crying. Some of you are not sleeping at night because that thing comes. That thing comes. You even don't know how it comes. You just find yourself crying. That peace has gone. And you are spending the rest of your night crying. But I'm here to tell you that God is about to turn your morning into dancing. Your tears of agony into a tear of peace and happiness. Lady, come. You first come. Mommy, come. Yes, come. Somebody leave your hand here and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just leave your hand. Thank you, Jesus. I want some usher to come here. I see something live alive. It was like so many arrows coming into your life. But the word of God is setting you free. In the name of Jesus. Father, thank you. Power in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for your freedom. You arrows of the enemies. Leave her right now in Jesus' name. Peace. 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 Holy Ghost peace. Holy Ghost peace. Somebody clap your hand to Jesus. Yes. Yes. Somebody clap your hand to Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Some of you are rejected for no cause. Rejected by your own husband. Rejected by some kind of traditions and religious system. But God has called you back into the system. God has called you back to worship him. God is setting you free to worship him. Thank you, Lord. We worship your name. And why does he want to take away the spirit of rejection and replaces it with peace? He said, I'm going to my Father, and I will not leave you orphan. I will go and bring with you, with me, Holy Spirit, who shall be your teacher, who shall be your comforter. He shall give you discernment spirit. You know, where there is no, sometime, where there is no discernment, you will realize that there is rejection. Some of you have lost big opportunity because you don't have that discernment. Let me tell you how the Holy Spirit operates. And this is true. He's the most important advisor, business advisor, ministry advisor, partners advisor. Sometime when you want to make a decision, do not rush. Keep quiet. And when you are feeling peace, before you speak and before you make that decision, know that it's the Holy Spirit. Always, when you first listen, that advice, that business plan will not flop. It will always succeed. But the devil wants to hurry things fast, microwave kind of stuff. Jesus has come to give you peace and eternal life. Peace and eternal life. And when you have peace, listen, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. There are so many weapons in the world today. You don't know in the spiritual atmosphere. They are trying to form it against you. But I hear it come down. It's collapsing. It will not prosper. It will not come to pass. When you stand in the presence of God, when you call upon the name of the living God, those who shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They shall be saved. And before we enter into a mode of ministry, let me tell you, we are going to see miracles in this house tonight. How many are ready? How many are ready for that? We are going to see God's power in the next 20 minutes. The fourth thing that leprosy does is to bring fear. Somebody say fear. 85% of the things that you fear do not come to pass. And fear is an abbreviation. False evidence appear real. Something to come like a Goliath is appear. Something which is false, it will not come to pass. But it is formulating something in your mind that is going to come to pass. When God has called you to move by faith, you need to have statement of faith. And where there is faith, there is no need to move in fear. Somebody say fear.
Fear.
I want to tell you this testimony. I went somewhere to preach and the head of state came. And when he came, and he first didn't want to come in our meetings, but at last he came. And he said, when we gave him to speak to thousands of people, he began to cry and said, I want you to take this Jesus that you have been preaching to a certain tribe in a mountainous area. And he was very open and declared and said, these tribes kill people for fun. Killing for them is like a point. And I looked at him. Something was speaking behind my back and said, don't go. I rebuked, I said, Satan, you're defeated. And after 1 minute, I said, okay, we shall go tomorrow. After holding a massive meeting, and he said, I will not go, but I will give you soldiers to drive you in that mountainous area. I said, this is a serious thing, God. Maybe it will come to pass that I'm going to heaven tomorrow. You know, somebody tells you that go in that meeting. They are killing you, especially if you're a visitor. And that's where I went. And morning comes, the governor called me and said, my vehicle is ready. Please, if you are ready to drive there in the morning, we are left with some few minutes, go and preach to them. I've been battling with the spirit of fear the whole night. I said, God, after all this, you have called me to preach to nation. Am I going to die in this train? And I heard a voice which said, that is this demonic spirit of fear. Go. And I said, okay, I'm going. I went to that place. We drove nearly for 3 hours. And we found those wild tribe blowing horns of animals, getting ready to kill. All of them were with their guns, AK-45. The soldiers that escorted me also jumped out of the car, around 7 soldiers. And said, God, I don't want to hear gunshot here and bloodshed. What I did, the Spirit of the Lord told me to remove your shirt and behave like them. I did. I rushed to them, hugged them, got on the roof. They were building the house of their king. And when I started that, they became friendly. They sat down and I said, we are brought for you good news. And we preached the message of love to them. And they all got saved. They all got saved. And when they gave their life to Jesus, the spirit of fear left me immediately. And we were dancing together. And they were telling me, will you sleep here tonight? We love you people. We need a church in this place. You need to break that cycle of fear that comes to your mind every day. Some of you even fear to get married. Some of you fear to take a step of faith. The risk of the restless people is the worst risk. When you do not take risk, because faith is like moving on the baseless foundation. It's like Pastor Louis saying, we are going to have this building. We are going to buy it all the square. If he said like that, and you know, those doubters, those Thomas will come and say, no, 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 no. No, Pastor, it can't work. Fear will what? Will begin to speak. Faith always speaks the impossible. Hallelujah. Faith always do what? Speak the impossible. We went and we were preaching in July, the 5th of July. They brought a man because we announced to people, said, bring people alive or dead. We are going to see God's power in this place. Amen. Bring them with eyes or no eyes. I saw an old man. He was led by a certain man. 38 years in blindness, born blind, never saw anything. And they led him in our meetings. And when I was preaching, somebody told me that, Benjamin, they brought some man. His eye is completely white. There is no pupil in his eyes. Was born blind. So let's pray for God's miracle tonight. And when we spoke to people, because God will always affirm what we speak in his name. Do not magnify the problem that you live in. Magnify God instead. Yes. Hallelujah. Your problem is small. God is bigger than your problem. Many times we look unto the mountain. We look unto the problems. We look unto the failure instead of looking unto God. And when we look unto God and begin to call new spare part of eyes in his eyes, in the next 5 minutes, his eyes were open. The man was first time in 38 years seeing things, jumping around, saying, oh, hey, It was like a drama. We were dancing together and praising God. Hallelujah! There is power in the name of Jesus. If we obey him, we shall eat the fruit of the land. Obedience is better than sacrifice. When we obey him, we shall see his hand stretch in our family. Fear must come out. Some people even fear to get in a plane. And you ask them, they will begin to bring statement and say, it is an allergy. If I get in a plane, I find myself getting swollen. I was preaching on radio, and a lady that has never eaten four-legged meat animals, you know, called me and said, Pastor, since I was born, I try to eat four-legged animal. My body gets swollen. I get itching everywhere. Do you think Jesus can heal me in that thing? We put life kind of radio, whatever, prayers. And we allow people to call. And we told this lady, said, come on, kneel down from wherever you are right now. I never seen the lady in my life. She knelt down. Said, have you knelt down? She said, yes. Lift up your hands. And we began to pray. We cast out that spirit of allergy. And that demon left her. After 2 weeks, she came and said, yeah, I've eaten meat, I've eaten cow, beef, everything. Nothing happened. My body is fit. Praise the Lord. Some of you have been spared already death, that you will die in the next 6 months. Or in 1 year. I'm here to tell you that that spirit must live your life in Jesus' name. Amen. They have diagnosed that your cancer is terminal, is really dangerous. And if you hear that it's dangerous from the mouth of a doctor, you will get paralyzed. But there is a doctor that's above every doctor. His name is Jesus. Listen. Thank God for doctors. Doctors treat. They treat, but God heals. I've never seen a doctor who has healed anybody in my life. They administer the tablet, but God does the healing. Whose report shall you believe? I will believe in the report of the Lord. How many wants to believe in the report of the Lord tonight? Listen, there are so many people living in isolation, living in rejection, living in fear and shame. But tonight, we are canceling that spirit in the name of Jesus. We remove that shackle from your legs, from your hands, from your mind, and you are free indeed. Somebody leave your hand and say freedom. Come on, get up on your feet and say freedom. I cannot hear this side. Say freedom!
Freedom!
If you know that you want God to touch you and set you free from any of the things we mentioned, come forward. In fact, come running. Come in front of the pulpit here. We shall pray together. There is an anointing in this house. There is power in this house. Thank you, Jesus. Those who are behind, all of you can move those chairs behind. You are going to see things that you have never seen before. You are going to feel peace in your life. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. We give you praise. We adore you, God. What is this? Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus. I want ushers, if there is an usher here in this place, just move those chairs behind and the worship team come. Leave your hand to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, we give you praise. We adore you, Lord. We honor you, Jesus. Come on, begin to give God's glory. Just pray. Begin to pray. Speak to him.
Speak to him. Speak to him. He's a name that is above every name. Speak to Jesus. Somebody speak to Jesus. Come on, begin to speak. Lift your voice and pray. Put your family in the hand of God. Pray for your job. Pray for your family. Pray for your school. I see God supply your needs according to his riches in heaven. I see success come in your ways. By the power in the name of Jesus. Yes, anointing of God. I want ushers to be here. Those who help people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's pray. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Freedom in Jesus' name. Freedom in the name of Jesus. Freedom, cut up here. Freedom in the name of Jesus. God.
Thank you for your healing, Jesus. It doesn't matter who you are. God's healing is coming your way. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, I want all of you to put your hands on your chest. Just put your hand, both of your hand on your heart, where your heart is. Everyone, just put your hands on your heart. Just put your hands there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, Lord, these people, hundreds of people, Lord, whose hands is put on their heart, and you're a God who looked into our heart. Some of them need to let go of the past, and they see the future. Because you're a God who has a good plan for us. Not destruction, but good life. Plan for prosperity. You're a God who has a divine strategy for our deliverance. You have a divine strategy to leave your people, Lord. And your words say that if the enemy raises a flood, your spirit will lift a standard. Father, I pray that leave a standard in their lives, oh God. Leave a standard, Lord, above disease. A standard above rejection. A standard above isolation and shame and fear. Today, in the name of Jesus. Today, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody clap your hand to Jesus. Somebody clap your hand to Jesus. Clap your hand to Jesus. Clap your hand to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now listen. Listen. This is just a beginning. Where is Pastor Louis? Where is Tina, Pastor Tina too? Come. These people have divine plan that has God has given them. How many love the pastor? If you love your pastor, leave your hands. Keep on praying for your pastor every day. Put him in the hand of God. Let him. God is going to renew your strength. Like eagles. I see expansion and increase. And there are so many people who are going to come to worship with you. Not because they are cooking food or they are taking coffee here, but because of God's presence. And you must, there is call in their life. They have a divine call in their life. You must stand to hold his hand, their hands. Have you heard? How many people say yes? Father, thank you. Pastor, leave your hands and I pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for Tina. In the name of Jesus. Father, worship your name. Thank you for his humble heart, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for the humble heart, humility. A father's heart. Yes. Lord, there are so many people without father in this city. Aimless boys and girls. They are without fathers. Lord, you have raised up Louis in this place to be a father figure, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the wife. Thank you for Tina. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus. Somebody clap your hand to Jesus. Clap your hand to Jesus. Now listen. How many people want us to come back? Praise the Lord. I love you people. I feel like this is home. This is home. How many people received their deliverance today? Now we have a long version of the DVD that we have watched. Do we have the DVD here? We have, it's called Today's Miracles. If you want to get them, they are behind there, and you want to do any other thing, I think Pastor will talk on others. Oh, on this side. You can pass through that side, and you will have them. Okay. Now listen, you can sit down. Let's just sit down for a moment. How many people want us to continue? God bless you. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship. Now look, all the glory and honor be given back to God. Praise the Lord. Let's clap our hands and we thank God for today. I want just to make only one announcement before I call Pastor Louis to come. Listen, in January on the 23rd next year, we are going to have Harvest Crusade in Sudan. We are expecting over 100,000 people to Jesus. How many wants to be part of that? We are going on the 23rd of January 2012. So I wanted to be praying. Pastor, we love you. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Benjamin. Church unusual today on a Sunday, isn't it? It's a good thing, though. And those of us that remain, I'd like for you to have opportunity to sow into their ministry. And ushers, if you'd prepare yourself. When I first went to Gulu and saw the favor of God ministry in action, Southern Sudan became a nation on January 9th of this past year, splitting from the north of Sudan, which is a Muslim stronghold. The reason for that is because so many converts were made in the southern part of Sudan that the nation wanted to have its own identity. They voted for the referendum, and it passed this past January. July 9th was their Independence Day. I want you to know that the nation has invited Pastor to come back and to give opportunity to minister throughout the nation, as well as throughout all of Uganda. When at favor of God, the thing that impressed me so much was the prayer life and ministry. If you're not familiar with the northern parts of Uganda, for 20 years, the Lord's Revolutionary Army, directed by Joseph Kony and his family, really just ravished that nation and pillaged that nation, killing so many savagely, innocently, maiming people, dismembering them, stealing away small children, 6, 7, and 8 years of age, and enlisting them in the army, brainwashing them to go back now and murder other villages. For 20 years, it was a stronghold, and most of southern Uganda would not go to the north. It wasn't safe. But Carol and Benjamin are planted right in the north, and along with others, began to cry out to God and saw the Lord overthrow that revolution. It wasn't the Ugandan army. It wasn't the diplomats of the nations. It wasn't the United Nations. It was not by might or not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And out of that place, this great ministry has been raised up. Most impressive is when you go to the children's orphanage. I don't know exactly how many children, around 80 or so. These are young children that are now preaching on the radio. They're now evangelizing on the street. They're released into to hospitals to pray for the sick. Every night at 6 p.m., they pray for 1 hour in a prayer circle. On Friday night, they pray from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. I'm talking about children ages 3, 4, 5, all the way to 13, 14 years of age. They begin praying in a circle, worshiping God, and one by one fall on their knees and pray the entire night, never leaving that prayer circle. I was so moved by that, and I said, God, there is the source of power being released in this nation. That's why Uganda, as the AIDS capital of the world, is now seeing a complete turnaround of victory. That's why, because the revolution was just causing such havoc, has now been squelched, and Joseph Kony is gone in exile in Congo. And by the way, we understand that his brother, Lakoch, has given his life to Jesus Christ. So we see that God is on the turnaround, right? I want to be a part of that apostolic anointing. I don't know about you, but I'd love to have Benjamin and Carol back for like a week of meetings, you know, and we could just get into the presence of the Lord and see a great move of God take place. We want them to come back. We want them to be a part of our lives. And it's not just a one-time affair. We want to have a long-term relationship with them. We believe God's caused our paths to cross for a purpose. So I'm asking you to do something today. I'm asking you to make a sacrificial offering toward their ministry. And every dime, every dollar that's received this morning will go to them. You can make the check out to CNC, and we'll process it and give it to them in entirety. But they're about ready to go back into the Sudan. They're expecting over 100,000 people. Now, these are individuals. Let me just say one more thing. I remember when I was first in Gulu, I think it might have been 3 or 4 years ago, I heard about the teams that would get on the back of pickup trucks, kiss their families goodbye that morning, and did not know if they would ever return. Because once they crossed the border into the Sudan and some of the other Muslim strongholds, they were going in the power and the might of God, and it was only God's grace and favor that gave them the ability to preach and come back alive. And alive, they came back day after day. God showed himself faithful. But ladies and gentlemen, do we understand the force of evil in the earth? And it takes God's people to rise up and allow the glory of the Lord to come upon us and to push back darkness. And that's what they've done. I know this, that when I give to that kind of an anointing, I receive the benefit of that anointing. You know, the Bible tells us that if you give a cup of cold water to a prophet, you get a prophet's reward. I don't know that I would have walked into that village that kills people for sport on an invitation to go preach. I don't know that I would have listened to the spirit of fear. I pray that I didn't if I was given that opportunity. I don't know what I would have done, but I know this. Benjamin went. They even killed soldiers that tried to come into their villages. He went there in faith, preaching the power of the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, why wouldn't we want to be a part of that? I don't know about you, but I want to make a connection with that kind of an anointing. And you know what Abraham did in Genesis 14? When Melchizedek came and blessed him. How many are blessed this morning from this message? Okay. When Melchizedek came and blessed Abraham, Abraham offered him the tithe. I believe there was a divine exchange that brought a divine connection. That's what tithing is really all about. And this is in the same principle of giving today. We can connect ourselves to this kind of apostolic anointing. I've had enough of the cream puff Christianity. I've had enough of the surface Christianity. I want to go for it all. I'm not about to waste the rest of my days in anything but the glory of God. Amen? So let's give today with faith, and let's give with a sign of saying we love you and we're praying for you. Even if you don't see us ever again on this side of heaven, know this. Over here in the valley, we're praying for you and believing God for your victory. So make your check out to CNC. Hold it up in the name of the Lord. Father, we hold this offering before you as an offering of sacrifice. We say, God, we give it to you, Melchizedek, our high priest. We know, Lord God, that you will then award it to your servant, Benjamin and Carol, and they will, O Father, administrate it and steward it as you have assigned. And so, Father, right now we thank you for the victory that comes as we sow and the apostolic anointing that we're going to be walking in as a result. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. While you're receiving the offering, if you'll notice, that step works out really well. You don't have to move. That works out well. Mark Sipos has been working on that, and he was working on it yesterday. That's for the play coming up next week, 16th, 17th, and 18th. Bring your friends, family, your enemies. And it's going to be dynamic. That's the stairway to heaven. If you're not sure what that is. Mark said, Pastor, I'm going to take it down because I know I don't want it to have it up for church. I said, Mark, don't do that. That's good advertisement. That reminds us that we're about to have a production 3 days in a row that's going to win many souls for Christ. I believe that with all my heart. This past week, I believe all of those mailings went out, right? About 12,000 mailers, I think, went out to all the homes in northeastern Ohio, inviting people to come. We've been passing out tickets. We have more. Take them with you and give them to everybody that you meet, and we're going to see a move of God that's powerful. You know, the Lord gave me one other thing. How many know somebody that used to serve the Lord who no longer is serving the Lord? Let me see your hand. Okay, that's sad, isn't it? God gave me a word. He said, home for the holidays. And I believe after this evangelistic outreach, we're going to pray for the month of December, every backslider back to the house of God. Every backslider. Would you pray with me about that? Home for the holidays. And we can invite them home for Christmas, and that they can come and be a part of what God's doing in the house. Isolation is of the devil, right? Shame is of the devil, right? Rejection is of the devil, right? And fear is of the devil, right? We know that we are going to move into the power of God. They were playing a song, Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord. And I want you to know that he is above every problem that you'll ever face. He's greater than any resistance you'll ever encounter. If I don't see you on this side next week, I'll see you on that side. And we all meet on the north side. So I'll look for you over there. But until then, everybody do what? Live right, love everybody, and pray hard. God bless you. Be friendly on your way out this morning. Stop at the product table.